Good morning and welcome to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. The mass slaughter in Orlando early Sunday morning has Kansas City reeling as well. 50 are now said to be dead in what's described as the worst mass shooting in American history. In our first half this morning, we'll get reactions from Kansas City leaders and our listeners about what it all means. Joining us now is Dustin Cates. He's the artistic director for the Heartland Men's Chorus. Dustin, good morning. Thank you very much for taking some time. I appreciate it. You there, Dustin? Dustin, you there?
I'm here.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
This shooting took place in a gay nightclub, and the shooter's father suggested that he was intentionally targeting gays. What do you make of what happened here?
It's terrible. I think we've seen these kinds of senseless acts of violence happen over and over again, all too often, and I think it's clearly a horrible time for the LGBT community, but just our entire country. We've got to figure out how we can stop these things from happening.
When you heard the news, I'm wondering when that was, and when you heard that gay Americans had been targeted, how did you react to that?
Well, early in the morning yesterday, this weekend, Heartland Men's Chorus celebrated its 30th anniversary concerts at the Folly Theater.
Congratulations,
and
by
so,
the way.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah,
we're very proud.
You should be, yeah.
So we, during our concert, sort of celebrate, you know, all of these things, you know, social justice and the idea that people should be their authentic selves and be able to be their authentic selves. And we had just finished that concert, and I woke up, and, you know, as we do these days, you know, hop on our phone and check the news of the day. And at that point, 20 people had been they were saying, the news was saying that 20 people had been killed, and it began to unfold. And, you know, we decided we ought to gather our Heartland Men's Chorus leadership and staff together and decide how we were going to respond.
And you did that when, on Sunday morning then?
Sunday morning, yeah, before mm-hmm. the concerts. We had our final concert on Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time we got to our 3 o'clock rehearsal, we communicated with our guys that, you know, we were going to perform our concert because it just spoke even more clearly to what had happened. All of this music that we've been singing for the past 30 years about social justice and LGBT rights and equality just was enhanced even further by the events today and needed to be heard. but I also shared with them during our warm-up time, one of the things that I think as a young music student at UMKC at the conservatory that I learned, it was the day of 9/11. And we were all wondering, why did our choir director, Charles Robinson, why did he have choir that day?
Hmm.
And we walked in, and he said, you may be wondering why we still have class. And we were all sort of like, yeah, why are we still here? And he said, it's because when you don't know what's going to happen and when you're hurting and you're broken, we sing, because that's what we do. And that provides healing for us and those who hear us. And so that's the message I shared with my guys last night. And I think... all the pain, it was really a moment for us to come together. It was good for us to be together that day.
That's a pretty powerful story.
Yeah, it changed me.
I'm wondering, as you said, your chorus performed Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. I'm wondering how your singers responded to Orlando and this mass shooting in the wake of you bringing them together and then going forward like that.
Yeah, well, you know, we as I said, we said, guys, our job is huge tonight, or this afternoon rather, because we have this opportunity to, like we always try to do, our Heartland Men's Chorus sort of vision statement slogan is that our voices enlighten, inspire, heal, and empower. And we had a healing job to do yesterday, and to provide an opportunity for the gay community and those who support us to come together and, you know, to be together and to cry and to, in some cases yesterday during our performance, laugh and just to support each other. And immediately after the concert, we walked off the stage and literally across the street to Barney Ellis Plaza,
right,
to a gathering of folks who were there to also mourn and to remember and to be together and support each other as well.
I'm visiting with Dustin Case. He's the artistic director for the Heartland Men's Chorus. I'm wondering if you could introduce a song for us, Dustin, that the chorus sang at the vigil that you just alluded to Sunday evening at Barney Ellis Plaza. The song we have is a recording of Singing for Our Lives. Tell us about that song.
Sure. In November of 1978, on the steps of the San Francisco City Hall, just a few hours after City Supervisor Harvey Milk, the world's first openly gay elected official, and the then mayor of San Francisco, George Moscone, had been assassinated. And Holly Neer, a singer, songwriter, activist, was on her way to this rally in memory of Moscone and Milk. And she scribbled these words down on a napkin in her car to this song, and got to the rally and led the song. Standing behind her was the newly formed San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, who had never had a performance before. They had only had a few rehearsals. And so they lifted their voices, and at that moment, a movement sort of was begun. That first Gay Men's Chorus sang for their slain brother, Harvey Milk, and his colleague, George Moscone.
Well, this is the Heartland Men's Chorus, the song again, Singing for Our Lives.
We are gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are gentle, angry people, and we are singing.
Together.
We are old and young together, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are old and young together, and we are singing, singing for our lives.
We are gay and straight together.
We are gay and straight together, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are gay and straight together, and we are singing, singing for our lives.
We are a justice-seeking people.
We are a justice-seeking people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are a justice-seeking people, and we are singing, singing for our lives.
We are a peaceful, angry people.
We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives.
That's the Heartland Men's Chorus, the song Singing for Our Lives. Was that the recording from last night, Dustin?
That was the recording at the rally, yeah.
Wow, okay. What was the reaction to that piece? I heard the applause there at the end. How did the crowd respond?
Well, they sang out, for sure, and it seemed to sort of bring us all together. That song we also sang in our concerts this weekend as well, and the first night we sang, yeah, we were all, that was an emotional moment in the concert. We were talking about our history and sort of when the gay choral movement started. The night before, on Saturday evening, I looked up to the balcony and, you know, people were standing and holding hands. And it's certainly a moving song, especially when you apply the context to it of the things that happened yesterday morning.
I'm wondering how you feel today in the wake of this tragedy. Is this a setback for the gay rights movement, for the equal rights movement in America, even writ more broadly. What do you make of it?
Well, I certainly think that there's no denying that this incident was targeted towards LGBT people, and so we can't say that you know this is a senseless act of violence that just happened. This is a hate crime. Someone went into a bar because it was a gay bar and, you know, opened fire and shot and killed 50 people. And so it's certainly angering. I think that it would be easy to say that we haven't made any progress, but I don't think that's true. As I'm, you know, sitting in my house right now, we live on the east side of Kansas City in a neighborhood called Beacon Hill, just up the hill from Children's Mercy and Truman Medical Center. And I'm looking out my front window right now at houses across the street, and I'm counting 4 gay pride flags of people who are not gay, but they live in my neighborhood. And their kids come over to our house and play with our 4-year-old little boy. And so the idea that we haven't made any progress, I would never say that, because so much progress has been made. But how many more times and how many more groups of people have to, you know, go through this hell of having their communities torn apart by this kind of gun violence before we say we have to stop, you know, separating ourselves and say we're one people and we don't want to do this to each other anymore.
That's Dustin Cates. He's the artistic director for the Heartland Men's Chorus. Dustin, really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I want to turn now to Mobeen Mirza. He's the secretary of the Johnson County Islamic Center out in Overland Park. I think he's on the job right now and taking a few minutes away from his duties as a doctor to spend some time with us. And Mobeen, thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You know, once again, in the minds of some at least, your faith is under scrutiny today in the wake of these shootings in Orlando. The shooter said he had pledged allegiance to ISIS during a 911 call that actually came during the attack. I'm wondering what your reaction is to all this, and what do people need to know here?
I think the first thing people need to know is, number one, despite whatever scrutiny our faith gets out of this, we have to realize what actually happened. What happened was a great tragedy, a heinous crime. And as Americans, without any hyphenated sort of identities that we might aspire to, we have to realize that that should be our focus, the families of the victims. What looks like was also a hate crime in addition to a terrorist attack. And, you know, as we get more news, we'll learn more about this. So I think that's number one. Our Kansas City experience, our Johnson County experience, our Orland Park experience has been very, very supportive of our community. Even when the San Bernardino attacks happened, when the Paris attacks happened, we do get some negative from our neighbors and surrounding community, but we get an overwhelming positive as well. And lastly, we always want to make sure that everybody understands, all the listeners, all of our community, all of our American people, that this has nothing to do with Islam. ISIS has their own philosophy. Whatever they want to call their philosophy is up to them. We don't aspire or have anything in common with them or their philosophy. Certainly our faith is very, very clear about murder, about hate, and we don't promote any of those things, and none of those things are in the teaching of Islam.
So I'm wondering, is America starting to get it, that what Islam is all about is very, very different than what ISIS is all about?
I think Americans in general do get it, and I think our community here is testament to that. I think there are Americans who don't get it. I think there are certainly leaders in America who have stations to speak from who, if they don't get it, don't like to say it, or they have their own agendas to say otherwise. But I think in general, Americans get it, and when we speak face-to-face to people, so when I come to work and I work with members of the Christian church, or I'm working with my colleagues who are gay, we don't have any of these issues. We don't hate each other. We don't have problems with each other's preferences or lifestyles. All of this comes out when rhetoric starts going up, when people have different agendas. I think if all of us look at each other as human beings who have integrity, if all of us look at our shared goals, we won't even have these thoughts.
Your Islamic Center started a hashtag campaign in November when ISIS was very much in the headlines at that time. What are you trying to achieve there? That hashtag again, not in my name.
Yeah, I mean, we personally did not start that hashtag. It was started, I think, somewhere in D.C., but we certainly took on the banner in the Kansas City metro area. And again, that hashtag simply means you do whatever you want in your own name, ISIS. Don't call this Islam. Don't call this Muslim Action. This has nothing to do with us. Your philosophy is your philosophy. Don't tell people that this is Islam. It is not. Don't tell people it's a misinterpretation of Islam. It is not any interpretation of Islam, period. So that's what that hashtag means. And again, I think we keep saying this again and again and again. The idea of what happens a lot is we lose sight of what the actual tragedy is. We start focusing on, you know, is this guy, how he was radicalized, who called him, so on. Is this Islamic? Where in the Quran does it say to do this? Where in the tradition does it say to do this? We get bogged down by those details. I think it's clear to any person who does any reading, who does any talking to their neighbor, that that's not the case.
When you heard that the shooter had claimed allegiance to ISIS, Mobeen, I'm wondering, does your heart sink a little bit? Do you think, oh, here we go again?
Yeah, so when I heard about the shooting, I was actually in a church. I was sitting down with members of the Church of Resurrection in Leawood, right. And we were doing a little class and session on, you know, get to know your Muslim neighbor kind of thing. And the lady who was hosting us was the one who pointed out to me that this has happened. I hadn't heard the news drive in into the church. And, you know, I think the first reaction when something like this happens again for anybody who is Muslim in America is, gosh, let not this be a Muslim person. Then you see the name pop up and you say, oh, yeah, it's a Muslim name. And then you say, okay, let not this be a terrorist association. Let this be some isolated domestic thing. And then, yeah, so all those thoughts are going into our minds. And it is a problem for us on many, many different levels. On the first level, as I've already stated, is this problem of we can't even grieve for our own neighbors or community or fellow Americans because we start going back into this self-preservation mode. And it's a bad place to be because we're losing sight of what's actually happened. Second, you know, all these sort of hyphenated identities start coming into place. Am I American first? Am I Muslim first? Am I Muslim American? Am I American Muslim? All these questions start coming into people's minds. And the third thing is, what are we doing in our own communities? What are we doing in the Muslim community? What are we doing in the Islamic Center to say, look, our youth are not going to be disenfranchised to the point where they're doing drugs, whether they're going into gangs or where they're being attracted to terrorist ideologies and then becoming perpetrators of these acts. So I think that's a responsibility we do have to take as a Muslim community, and we are doing that.
Well, Mobeen Mirza is secretary of the Johnson County Islamic Center out in Overland Park. Very much appreciate your time today, Mobeen, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
I want to listen now to a few voices from that rally last night at Barney Alice Plaza in downtown Kansas City. You're going to hear the voices of Iman Shelshatori, Joshua Voland of the KC Anti-Violence Project, and Ash Ali.
One of the biggest fears my mom had when I came out wasn't that I was gay. It was that other people in the world would harm me because of something in her eyes and in everything, all of our eyes, you know, in the community and beyond, just think it's not something that you should murder someone over.
You think about, you know, I was just at my local club the other day and anyone could have walked in to do that. It's standing together and showing that, you know, although it's there, they're still our brothers and sisters, whether it be gay, straight, lesbian, trans, whatever the case be, it's still felt around the world.
So whenever everyone on my news feed on Facebook started talking about this today, I was like, well, cool, people are waking up, but they're really not having the right conversations yet. So, for instance, I have a lot of white friends that didn't even know that it was Latina night at the club and that the two people that were headlining the show were trans women of color that were also drag queens. The majority of the people that were in attendance at the club that night were people of color. So it's just there's a lot of layers to this, and I know that a lot of people are feeling the effects of violence on different levels, and it's really just important to kind of take apart those pieces and figure out what the problem is, really.
Those are the voices of Iman Shelshatori, Joshua Voland of the KC Anti-Violence Project, and Ash Ali. I want to end our look and our reaction to the Orlando shootings last night with a speech that Mayor Sly James made last night at the Barney Alice Plaza. To say that the mayor was emotional, to say that he was determined and was focused would be to put it very lightly. Here's Kansas City Mayor Sly James at last night's vigil.
It is an absolute travesty. It is an absolute shame that you have to be gathered here under this canopy of blue, gathered together for this reason. 15 times our president has had to make an announcement after a mass murder. 15 times we've heard the same thing. And 15 times, well, let's put it this way, 14 of those first 15 times, nothing has changed. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty damn sick of it. We have an absolutely horrible combination. We have potential leaders of this country spewing hate with every sentence that they speak, every word that they speak. The people that follow that are just as likely to do the same thing because all of a sudden he's made it look acceptable. And on top of it all, we arm everybody to the teeth as somehow that's going to make us safer. It hasn't made us safer. It's never going to make us safer. I don't care how you look at it, slice it or dice it. When you put weapons in the hands of idiots, haters, bigots, and fools, people will die, and we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We cannot rely on the people in Jefferson City. They don't give a damn. We cannot rely on Congress. They are tone deaf. The money that permeates this system keeps people like that in power, and they don't care about us dying, and they won't until they die. It is time for us to take control of this issue and do something about it, or we will continue to see brothers and sisters die. Orlando died for absolutely no reason whatsoever. They weren't hurting anybody. They weren't committing any crimes. They hadn't committed any sins. They were simply there enjoying themselves. Some bozo with a weapon walks in and starts blowing people away and sends another 50 to the hospital. And that's how we start our weekend. I don't know about you, but my heart is sick, my body is sick, and my brain is tired. We can't simply roll over on this. We can't simply say that somebody else is going to fix it. We must do something about this. We must take control of this issue. Thank you all for being here. I'm sorry to have to see you today. I'd much rather see you at a restaurant, stop by the table and say hi, share a glass of wine, talk about a friend, do those things that we do when we're around people that we know and like and our neighbors and our friends and our citizens in this city. But here we are talking about the death of 50 innocent people one more time. And let me make this prediction. If we do not do something about this, there will be another, and there will be another, and there will be another. And at some point in time, we're going to all have to say, enough is enough is enough is enough. It is enough. Yeah.
That's Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James speaking at last night's vigil at the Barney Alice Plaza in downtown Kansas City.